Some people might stick their nose up at that and say, oh, well, that's not communicating with your child properly. Well, no, it is. It's communicating with my child in the way that he feels more comfortable.
The way that
works
for him.
Yeah.
The Still Parents podcast is proudly supported by Global's Make Some Noise. Click details in the description to find out more.
If you are watching the live stream, and we're going to be here for what, 30 minutes or so. You can get in touch, drop us a message with anything you want to say to the guys. If you've got a question, anything like that. And if this is later on and this episode you're listening back through your podcast provider, you can still get in touch through our socials. All the details are in the description, because this episode will be going up during Children's Mental Health Week. And this is one of the topics that we've done, which we've asked you some things that you'd like us to discuss. And one of the topics was talking about children's mental health focus, you know, parenting after a loss, and whether you have children before your loss or you've gone on to have children since, such as in the case of Matt with Etta, who's now 8 and getting to that age where she's starting to ask questions and showing an interest in how you talk to someone that age in a way to get the head around it, and also your own journey. So that's what we're going to be doing.
And also, I think it's important to say that as a charity, we have a professional trained play therapist. So if ever there was any parents out there who have children that where you live in the West Midlands or Warwickshire, you can access our play therapy free of charge, and you can refer your children if you feel that they need help and support from a specialised play therapist following the loss of your baby. So if that is something that you feel your children would benefit from, again, whether it's a child pre-loss or a child post-loss, then please do get in contact with us and we can arrange for the relevant referral to be made, so to make sure that your children get the support that they need.
Start with you, Ryan. Your oldest boy, Alfie, it was just Alfie you had when you lost Lily at the time. Am I right in thinking that?
Yeah.
How old was he?
He had just turned 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did he know anything about what was going on? Or did he sense anything?
He knew Amy was pregnant.
Yeah.
Which I think most kids at that age would know that there's a baby on the way. When we told him, when we came home from the hospital and we told him that the baby had died in mummy's tummy.
Yeah.
He had absolutely no understanding whatsoever.
Straight back to his toys.
Sat him down and then he said, okay, can I go and play my trains?
Yeah.
Because that's what kids at that age do. Everything is black, white, very boom, there we go, right, okay.
Move on.
Yeah. The one thing I suppose that we did notice with him was the anxiety over time, where he obviously saw his mummy and daddy upset and things like that, and he became a little bit more anxious, maybe didn't sleep as well at night. But on the whole, at that age, the age of 3, the age of 4, absolutely no understanding of the reality. In fact, to tell a story that Amy always tells as well, is that he came to Lily's funeral. And this is how a child's mind works. He came to Lily's funeral, went through all the funeral proceedings throughout the day, went to the wake and things like that. And then later on in the year, he just came out saying, I don't want to go to one of those weddings again because everybody cries. So like he obviously associated being in the church as being a wedding rather than a funeral. Because he had actually attended myself and Amy's wedding. So he...
Was Amy crying at your wedding then?
She's still crying now.
Yeah.
17 years on. But yeah, he didn't want to go to a wedding again because that everybody cries at those things. And that shows the vulnerability of a child, doesn't it? And how association with a place or with things that are going on at that time. So for him, that was
has he been back to a wedding since now?
I think he has been to a few weddings. I don't believe actually he's been to a funeral, actually, thinking about it. I don't believe he's been to a funeral.
Is he 19 now?
He's 19.
He's 19.
Yeah.
How is he? Like, do you guys talk much? Obviously, you'll hear a lot of conversations purely by the nature of the foundation and the charity, and you're going to take that home. That work home with you, aren't you? You're going to talk. But how often do you talk about, and what sort of conversations do you have with Alfie about Lily? And also, you know, with your other boys, with Freddie, with Bobby and Ivy?
It's funny because he being 19, he's obviously extremely independent. He's got his own job. He's training to be an airline pilot, but he's also in a band. And he's actually got a gig this Saturday, which would be Lily's 16th birthday. And his question to myself was, can I go and play in the gig, or do you not want me to go? So it's almost like he was still waiting for us to say yes or no, you can go or you can't. Yeah. And my sort of response to him was, is that, you know, you're an adult, you can make that decision. We're not going to, you know, at the end of the day, we'll do something throughout the afternoon with it, with the whole family. But at the end of the day, Alfie, this is, you know, you're an adult. If you want to go and play and earn the money, then absolutely, we completely understand that and stuff. So there's conversations in that respect. He still helps little bits and bobs with regard to the charity on various events and things like that. But I think in terms of him being engrossed in what the charity does and so forth, he's not really too much involved, if that makes sense. But yeah, I mean,
19 years old, it's party time, isn't it?
Well, not for kids nowadays at 19. They don't drink.
Yeah.
Yeah, socialising time then.
It's just socialising time.
That was the most English thing to say, wasn't it?
Yeah, on a phone. Yeah. But then Freddie's more involved.
How old's Freddie? 15?
Freddie will be 15 in April, but he actually decided yesterday that he's going to do the Kids High Rocks in London.
Oh, wow.
With his friend and raise money for the charity. So he wants to, he still gets involved in things like that. And the girls are just very, Ivy's 11 and Bobby's 9.
Bobby's doing something this year, isn't she?
Bobby's, raising money for Lily's birthday, where she's shaving her granddad's beard off, or half of his beard off, sorry, and he's got to walk around with half a beard for a week.
Brilliant.
She's raising money for that. So she's getting involved there. But then Ivy doesn't really get involved. Like, she'll go to the sibling support days and they'll take part in the sibling things that we do as a charity.
Yeah.
But in terms of actual things, maybe off her own back, that's not Ivy. She doesn't really do that.
Do you have any, or noticed any different ways that when you talk to your children about Lily, any differences in the way you communicate or the way you've noticed they process it between sons and daughters?
Oh, good question.
That's a great question, isn't it?
I think it's difficult to answer that question because the girls are obviously a lot younger than the boys. In fact, funnily enough, Alfie's watching this stream.
Yes, Alfie.
He's on here watching this stream now.
Well, Alfie and Freddie have been on this podcast. Not long after we first started. Yeah. And I think, unless I'm mistaken, so Alfie, who's now 19, was the age that Freddie is now when he came on. I think it was, they were 11 and 15 or 12 and 15 at the time.
Yeah. Probably about just over three years ago, weren't it?
Yeah.
But also, I think when you look at Alfie's experience, he's completely different to that of the other three, because he was obviously pre-loss and the loss of his baby sister. Whereas the other three, it's the loss of their big sister. So there's a difference in that dynamic.
Yeah, of course.
But also Freddie being the rainbow baby as well, and understanding the charity more because he was brought up more in the infancy of the charity, if you like. So he would have been, he was born when we started the charity early. There is definitely a difference between them. Definitely a difference between the boys and the girls. And actually, I think it is more different because of the fact that Alfie obviously lost his baby sister, whereas Freddie, it's his older sister that he never got to meet and things like that. So there is a difference in that respect.
In the case with you, Matt, because it's 10 years this year since you lost Callie, and you are doing your, if you're first time listening or watching the Still Parents podcast, every single day in 2026, Matt is running 10 kilometres every day for 365 days. He's very happy it's not a leap year. And so you are now a month and, 4 days into it? How's it? Have you been yet today?
Not yet, I've got to go later.
How's it going?
I just said to them in there, like, it's fine. I'm just getting really bored. I've already said
are you bored?
Really bored of the dark.
Running is boring, though.
No, it's not for me.
I know you love it, but that's,
I'm bored of the dark.
Well, go during the day.
I'm not going down that road.
You know there's two, like, versions of the world, daytime and nighttime.
Daytime, nighttime. Yes.
But I'm sat with my boss, so yeah. I walk.
Oh,
I
is run. That your way of saying Ryan's working you too hard?
No, I run after work and I run before work, all right? So the work okay. in the day, as yeah. we all know.
Do you take
so.
The same route?
Yeah.
That's, oh, no.
So that's the...
Oh, no, I couldn't I have do to. That.
Every
I,
day?
I have to because psychologically, it just helps.
So you know where you're at?
Yeah.
Okay, we got to do what works for you.
And then the
have you
the,
done it like the opposite, the same route, but the reverse way?
Yeah. Psychologically, I'm just struggling with the dark runs. I just need some light. I just want some nice weather.
Yeah, well,
I think we all want some nice weather now, though, don't we? We're all getting a bit bored of the cold and so. Well, but no, it's going fine, mate. Body's taking it, and I just keep having to remember the reason I'm doing it.
So you're my mate, your daughter Etta, who's eight years old now.
Eight, yeah.
Does she know why you're going running every single day? Does she like, well, Daddy, why are you going again?
Yeah.
Because he's having some time by himself.
Yeah.
does she know why you're doing it?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is the thing, like...
That's Ryan said. She would have been...
She's our rainbow.
Big sister.
She's our rainbow.
Callie would have been her big sister.
And... Yeah. I think similar to Freddie in that sense that we've never hidden Callie.
Yeah.
She's always been, you know, Etta obviously came... So 18 months after we'd lost Callie. And so, yeah, she's always been very involved in knowing she's a sibling and that kind of stuff. And yeah, she's very much involved. I don't know what Ryan thinks about this, but her relationship with Callie and her relationship with Hammy and Crystal C. Callie has also changed over the years.
In what way? If you can vocalise it.
No, yeah. I think... It's very much, Etta's very much one of these kids that she'll do it like when she's confident or she's got a lot more confidence as she got older, but like we might give her an idea and then she'll mull over it a little bit and then she'll be like, yeah, I'd like to do that. Okay. I'd like to give it a go now.
Yeah.
And I think with the stuff around Callie, she's a very much the last couple of years, especially really come into her own about as she grows up, she gets older. I mean, as I said to you before, Dan, just before we went on live, that she's now asked to join the sibling focus group.
Has she? Yes, you did mention that.
Which I was... How
do you feel about that?
My heart could have melted, mate. I'll
do you
be
want
to
explain that focus group a little bit more as well, mate?
Yeah.
Is it in your place?
Yeah, she's going to run it instead of me. Yeah, she's probably a lot better at it than I am.
Oh, that's it, because she knows her daddy does it. And it's...
It was at the Christmas party. The sibling group is a group of siblings who have lost babies, parents have lost babies, and they are very much a group that help us direct what we do as far as siblings are concerned. Because they are the siblings, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They know it. They get it better than adults sometimes. Yeah. You know. So we meet maybe three times a year here at the office, and we have a meeting with them, and they give us ideas what they'd like to do through the year. They help at the sibling days. They help at the Christmas party. They go around doing the raffle and stuff like this. And then they all did a little speech, didn't they, at the Christmas party, right? I think they did. Mm. And they all stood at the front and did a little talk. And that was when Etta was like really interested and intrigued at that point. And that's when she said to me, she said, Daddy, I want to do that.
Does she want to talk about Callie much, or does she bring it up? And have you sensed any change? Because obviously at that age, I've got a daughter who's the same age as Etta, and it's at that point now where the interest and the evolution of where the mind's going and the grasp on a little bit of the realities of life, rather than all the like the fairy tales. And
we've had a couple of interesting moments with Etta over the years, and I say that word very loosely, but. She's obviously gone, the last couple of years, she's gone through a period in her class where some of her friends have had younger siblings come into their lives.
Mm.
And we've obviously decided that that's the end. We're not having any more children.
Yeah.
So we have had that question of, am I going to have it? You know, and then we're like, you know, we have to.
Is that why you got a dog?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know. I think that she's come to a point now, probably, I don't know, she accepts and sees that this is her life. Okay. She's only ever known herself to be a single physical child.
Yeah.
So yeah, but it's difficult, isn't it? Because you're in a situation in life that it's been thrown upon you. You didn't think it was going to be thrown upon you.
Yeah.
This isn't the fairy tale of having children that was ever given to you.
Mm.
and you have to make the best of it. And that's what we do every day with Etta. And we've never, or I say it all the time, we've never thrown it in her face or like pressured her how to feel. So like when we go and see Callie, and this has happened ever since she was born, we've never pressured her to get out of the car and go and see Callie at the cemetery. Like she can sit in the car or she can
so
get
you're
out.
Empowering her to make the decisions.
Her choice.
Like it's there. Yeah.
And you know, as she's got older, she's becoming quite a talented artist. Flipping God knows where she gets that from.
I was going to say, I've seen your drawings.
Absolutely, mate, yeah. They're like my feet. My drawings are like my feet.
Matt, Ryan showed me a picture that I didn't realise you had done one day. And my first thing was, is Etta done that?
Which one?
It was like when he did some colouring.
The colouring, yeah.
No. Brilliant.
Like you said, I'd colour and then you were like, has Etta done that? Because I'd be out the lines and that. That's what it was, wasn't it?
It was amazing.
But when she's gone on to do kind of draw into the family, if she's included Callie, she's included it. If she hasn't, she hasn't. I haven't stood over and gone, where's Callie? Because that's not my role.
Yeah.
That's up to her.
It's interesting to see how the... Because those little pictures that they do, it's like a little snapshot into their mind, isn't it?
She's included her a lot more as she's got older. She's included Callie a lot more, and she talks about Callie a lot more. She brings her into conversation a lot more.
It's natural, isn't it? She's going to have more presence of mind to do so.
Yeah, and I say it all the time, I'm sure Ryan is the same, that she'll... I haven't told her this, and I'll probably, if she ever gets married, I'll save it till her wedding day when I can make her cry and ruin her makeup.
Brilliant.
She's
you nasty man.
Yeah.
She'll listen to this one day.
Yeah. She will never know how important she is to me and Crystal.
Yeah.
And how much she saved us. And she really has, right? She really, really has, because, you know, we've been blessed to go on and have her, and she's the most precious thing with Callie, obviously, but like physically here, from that side of things, her relationship with Callie, I think, has evolved, developed, looked different over the years.
Well, bearing in mind what you just said about saving you and that impact is, you know, how when you're grieving yourself, how can you support in practical ways your own child?
Well, I mean.
There's no right answer, is there?
It's
what you've learned, isn't it, over the time?
Yeah, but also there are certain, like, you know, support strategies which you would, not a program as such, but just things to be mindful of. Things to be mindful of when you're actually speaking to your other children about a loss. And it can be simple things like not telling your other children that they've gone to sleep.
Yeah,
because then there's an immediate anxiety linked to that child going to sleep, because they think, if I go to sleep, I'm never coming back.
Yeah,
so it's about like using terminology that's understandable for the child. You know, they've gone to sleep or they've gone away. If they've gone away, well, then you're expecting somebody to come back. So support strategies involving children in family grief. So actually involve them and answer questions. Honestly, like I've said, so using the word death or died, there's nothing wrong with using that, and using the name of the baby as well, obviously, if they've named the baby, and making sure that they have a presence within the house, even though they're not there, is using that the name of the baby to make sure that the siblings understand that they were part of their life as well, and just, you know, keeping routines as normal as possible for them.
They're
the support strategies, really, that you would say is that are important for siblings who have lost.
I also think as well that because I've been asked the question by people before, how to keep your lost baby relevant while having living children.
Yeah.
And I've simply said that, there's no real right or wrong answer, but it's only because we're maybe further down the line now. It's probably a lot tougher for people who are closer to their loss, but I've said, and it is just my opinion, but I've said that it would be really unfair for us to live through Callie every day for Etta, because it's devastating what's happened to Callie. If we were sad all the time, it would be really unfair and difficult for Etta to live her life, because she came after, and I'm not saying not don't show emotion. Yeah. We've shown emotion in front of Etta.
Oh, it's natural, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
All the time.
But a lot of the time, it really is difficult because Etta deserves to live her life as well, you know? Despite her being part of our family that we've sadly gone through, but she deserves to live her life, be happy, strive, grow, do what she needs to do. And if we were to always sell, but remember Callie,
I get you.
Do you know what I mean? Mm.
You mentioned about...
It's a very fine balance.
School, because some of her friends in her year would now be having siblings. Like you said, you and Crystal have taken the decision not to. But with schools, how can schools better support or and Ryan, you used to be a teacher as well, so you've got the from within that field, support children who have experienced baby loss in the family, whether they were alive when they lost a sibling or not. Is there any role that can play? Because I'm very wary of that series that came, was it called Adolescence?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That came out last year, which is as
unreal,
dark and scary. Series.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I'm thinking, okay, because my oldest daughter is now a teenager. Mm. For the first time, I'm going, I'm really kind of like, what conversations is she having at school? And just mental health in general. And then, because you know what other kids are like, and there'll be some idiot who'll be teasing, because it's a horrible thing to say about something mean about a lost sister, or about, you know, well, for both of you, the lost sisters.
Oh, somebody did it once with Alfie in school.
And oh, they did?
I lost my rag. I ended up on the doorstep of the parents.
Of course you did.
No, but I'm the same. No, but I'm not like that. But I would be over Etta.
But then
I
always
question. I like completely joking. I completely get why. It was Alfie, was it, or Freddie?
It was Alfie in school. There was
kids.
So he was in. He would have been. I think it was either year 10 or year 11. So he would have been 15, 16. And he was in a PE lesson, and there was a couple of lads who he didn't. I wouldn't say like didn't get on with, but didn't associate.
Yeah, they weren't in his group.
They're not his group, blah, blah, blah. And one of them made comment to him while he was in a football match, basically saying, oh, you can save my penalty, but you can't save your sister. To which I then, when I found out who it was, knew that the dad was a governor of the school as well. And... promptly took myself round to his house and notified the parents quite politely to start with what had happened.
Yeah.
And then when the parents couldn't accept what had been said.
Were they not owning it? They're just...
No. And even now I still walk past that dad at times in the village and he cannot look at me. He puts his head down and walks past.
How long ago? How many years ago was this?
Ooh, three or four years.
Oh, so it's not long then?
No, it's not long. And it came out in the wash eventually that the kid had said it and was apparently very apologetic, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Either way, like, I've always thought with kids are very black and white. Kids can say things not understanding the true meaning of what's behind it. But when you're 15, 16 years old, you know that things like that can hurt people. So that
they might have the intent to be mean, but they don't understand the consequence of it.
Yeah, exactly.
And because they're two different things, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. But in all fairness to Alfie, he followed the correct channels and we got it dealt with in the end. But at the same time, it's for somebody to say something like that, he's quite shocking.
That's my point of bringing it back to the question about schools, because it's going to happen, isn't it? And it's the reality. You can't...
Yeah, and I do sometimes wonder with Etta as she gets older, because she keeps telling me that one of her teachers, she's got a main teacher for 4 days, but I think her main teacher is still in the training phase as well at times. So she has like a day a week where she goes and does some bits.
Okay.
She's got another teacher who then covers her for the day. And the other teacher that covers her has listened to the podcast.
Oh, really?
And has donated to the charity and has really looked and asked about. Mm. And I think that's brilliant. But then I do wonder as Etta gets older, as I'm very vocal about Callie and she maybe starts to become vocal about Callie, is teasing going to happen? Things like this. And but on the flip side of that, I don't, not that I don't want to protect her from that, but
mentally preparing this, just the, how you're going to react to
this
it.
This is our
it?
Life, isn't it? You know.
And, do you know something though? Yeah, Freddie, yeah. Freddie has never experienced any okay. teasing yeah. towards.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, Freddie was bullied in primary school, but there was never about anything, okay. never. And actually, sadly, one of Freddie's friends in secondary school lost his mother a couple of years ago. And the first person that was there to support him was Freddie.
Really?
Because he's an empath and he wanted to be able to yeah. support and what have you. And also the same with the girls, have never been, okay. never been teased right. about it. Touch wood.
Yeah, yeah.
So
you know of anyway.
I do think it's a rarity that yeah. somebody, I'm going to say it, I think you've got to be pretty sick tease somebody about, to tease a child about something like that.
Yeah.
And also with kids, it's just making sure that they know that they can come and, because that, again, the other thing I'm worried about, they get to that age where they might start wanting to hide things from yeah. you or be not tell you about how and the feeling.
Yeah.
And that's not really going to help while they're still not, brain's not developed enough to process
no,
it.
No, yeah.
And have that like, and another opinion.
And actually, another thing that I did some training at a primary school over in Coventry, who contacted us because they'd had a few siblings come through school who had lost baby brothers and sisters. So again, as a charity, we can offer that support to schools. We can offer that support to businesses. Doesn't really matter who it is. Anybody that deals with children or works with children as a charity, we can talk to them and train them on, you know, the not the right things to say, because it's not our job to turn around and say, you must say this, you must say that, but to educate and help yeah. them understand, you know, the process behind things is obviously really important.
Well, that's what I was going to say to end this little mini live episode with is, what do you wish every parent could understand about children and grief after baby loss?
It's a big, yes.
Is there, or is it? Or is
I personally think it's different for everyone. I don't think there's a manual for it.
And it also changes with different ethnic groups, different
yeah.
religions,
yeah. Yeah.
you know.
Children, when that were like Ryan and Amy had a child, physical child,
that's
when
a
they're
good
lost.
Point, actually, yeah.
We didn't have a child when we lost. There's differences there. Yeah, I think it's so broad.
I actually think, Dan, you came up with the perfect answer, Justin, and that is just making sure that those kids know that they can talk at any time and yeah. that they can approach you and say anything.
It's on my mind a lot at the minute because it's, again, because my oldest daughter will be 14 in April, and so it is because I'm seeing, she's gone from that preteen to now, yeah, like yeah. Literally in the last few months now getting to that bit where I can see her just growing up a bit.
Yeah. yeah.
And obviously that's scary because it's like, you know, you don't want all that, you know, boys and all that nonsense.
I mean, I've heard of some brilliant stuff where parents have had, like, you know, like a little teddy bear or something, or a little anxiety monster, as they used to call it. And they would say to their children, if you've got a question that you want answering or you don't want to speak to me, write it down and give it to the anxiety monster. And then the parent would then look at it and they're able to write something back. Yep. And pass on to the child.
Yep.
So that it's about thinking outside the box and making
like that.
Sure that they have an ability. I'll be straight down the line here. Freddie won't talk to myself or Amy face to face. He just won't do it. Okay. Whereas I can get into bed at 10 o'clock in the evening when he goes to bed and my phone is going ping, 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 and it's all messages that are coming through from Freddie.
Right,
yeah. That's how he gets it off his chest.
Because that's how he gets it off his chest, and he will happily sit and message and have a conversation with me in that way. Now, some people might stick their nose up at that and say, oh, well, that's not communicating with your child properly. Well, no, it is. It's communicating with my child in the way that he feels more comfortable
to
do it.
The way that works for him.
And, yeah. if you were to turn around and say, don't do it that way, you
exactly.
might not get anything off him.
That doesn't
exactly.
mean it's always going to be like that. That's
no,
just
it doesn't.
How it is for him
it's
now.
Just how it is for him
and
now.
It's noticed, it's interesting as well, because it's that last thing before, especially with the sibling. If they've got a lot, because my oldest daughter, she does it a lot. It's going to be quiet. And then the moment it gets into bed, everything, every little stress from the day, yeah. that's yeah. when it needs to come out.
Yeah, absolutely. Because they need to process at that time. So just making sure that you're yeah. there, and no, and any way that your child wants to communicate with you is the right way, because at the end of the day, they're communicating with you.
Yeah. Yeah, precisely. On that note, we'll bring this mini live episode to a close. Thank you very much. If you've got any topics that you would like us to discuss, whether on this or a future episode with a guest, or maybe you want to come on yourself, all the details you can find through, well, if you're watching on Instagram, you can already click the details and go straight to it, and all the episode descriptions will be attached in there too. So thank you very much. Take care. We'll be back very soon. Cheers, Ryan.
Bye.
Cheers, Matthew.
See you guys.
See you in a bit.
The Still Parents Podcast is proudly supported by Global's Make Some Noise. Click details in the description to find out more.